Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the loving kindness that you give us. Thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you provide. Especially, thank you for eternal salvation that we can have when we follow the instructions that you have given us that allow us to share in your eternal heavenly kingdom. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. Each of us search for God in a different way, and that makes it interesting. And the other part that makes it interesting is that if we search for God, we always find him, or you could say he also finds us. There are some people who only want what they have in this life, and that is their focus, and they have no use for God. I know and love some of those people, and it hurts to think that they might be spending eternity without God because of their choice. Of course, we do not know anyone's eternity because it is God's judgment and decision where we, each one of us, will spend eternity. But God does give us a book. I think of it as a book, and it includes how we can find and stay in relationship with Jesus. That is important to me, and I hope that it is important to you. I do find it to be kind of like a mystery when I hear about the many different ways in which God enters a person's life. It might be slow and quiet, as I imagine it would be for a quiet church-going person. Maybe they're kind of young in life and they just have a God-oriented life. Another way that God comes to people is in a powerful or almost violent event. Whatever it is, God knows what will be perfect for us. And he gives us that perfect experience so that we can confirm and grow in our relation with him. And there are always testimonies of people who have a miraculous happening when they came to Jesus Christ. I'm thinking of a testimony of a kind of a young man. He went to a tent revival in a tough part of town where he lived. And at the tent revival, he received Jesus. And on his way back, he was confronted by two tough bullies, and he knew what would happen. They would beat him up and take his money. And he thought about the money he had, which he had planned to use to feed his family. Well, as a new Christian, he knew what to do, And he called out to Jesus. He cried out, "Oh, Jesus, save me." And he closed his eyes as he expected to be pummeled by those two ruffians. With his eyes closed, he heard two sort of sharp, sort of dull blows. And he opened his eyes and saw the two ruffians collapsing to the ground. He did not understand what could have happened. And he quickly left, and he went home, grateful for his salvation, grateful that he still had his money, and he wondered what had happened. So people might have that kind of an experience coming to Jesus Christ, or it might be that quiet kind where they go into church and read the Bible. It's just different for everyone. There are people with the kind of amazing, earth-shattering experiences that we would think somebody ought to write a book about that. And I think about what happened to those Hebrew children in ancient Egypt, you know, with Moses. And I think that was an earth-shattering experience that they had as they watched their God do miracle after miracle. Through Moses, the Hebrews saw their God glorified, and they saw the little g, Egyptian gods, humbled and becoming, well, very minor deities. Well, the miracles of God that they saw were the fresh Nile River. And the Nile River was viewed as the source of life in Egypt at that time. Well, they saw that river turned to blood. And then they saw the small life forms which the Egyptians worshipped as kind of god entities. They saw those small life forms turned into a plague of awful problems that overran the people of Egypt. There was the massive plague of frogs, and then the massive plague of lice, and then the massive plague of flies, and then there was the death of the livestock, and then the widespread human sickness, a form of pestilence. After that, there were boils on the people. And Moses kept going back to Pharaoh saying, "Let the Hebrew people go." After those plagues, there was another one. It was hail upon the land of Egypt. And that hail also had fire with it. And after each of these plagues still, Pharaoh would not let the people go. And so there was another plague of locusts. And those locusts, they ate the crops and the leaves and the bark of the trees and the people's clothes, because that's what locusts do. After that plague, there was darkness over the land of Egypt, except in the Hebrew homes. There was light in the Hebrew homes. And then the last plague, which was the death of the firstborn of animals and of people. And when that happened, the death angel would come to Egypt and kill all of the firstborn, except for the firstborn in the homes, with the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintel. On these homes where the faithful Hebrews lived, the death angel passed by, and the firstborn stayed living. And this was the miracle of Passover, that the blood of the lamb protected the people from death. And the Hebrew people in Egypt witnessed this. And the Egyptian people also witnessed this. And there came to be a multitude of people that was mixed. Some of them were Egyptians, and mostly they were Hebrews. But they all worshipped Yahweh, the Almighty God of the Hebrew people. Of course, the Egyptian people saw what the Almighty God of the Hebrews did with the plagues upon the land and the saving of the Hebrew firstborn from death. And so there were plenty of Egyptians that just wanted the Hebrews to go away because of the plagues. And then there were Egyptian people who wanted to become a part of that Hebrew culture. It was different for different people, but so many of those Egyptian people were anxious for the plagues to stop, and so they wanted the Hebrew people to leave. That was their answer. And so when the Hebrew people were getting ready to leave, the Egyptian people gave them gifts of silver and gold and clothing, just to get them out of there, we think. But anyway, that's what was going on. In those days, clothing was very expensive because everything was handmade. The fabric took a long, long time to make, took time and labor. Clothes were expensive. So that's why the Egyptians gave valuable things, silver, gold, and clothing. Well, as you know the story, the Hebrew children left Egypt and they got to the Red Sea. And right about that time, Pharaoh was coming after them with his army. He changed his mind again, and Pharaoh was going to destroy those people. He was angry with them for leaving. It was well over a million people, and people represented labor, which represented power and goods. So Pharaoh wanted those Hebrew people to stay as servant slaves. Well, the plagues were a miracle, and then there was another miracle that happened as the Hebrew people were up against the Red Sea with no path to escape, and the Egyptian chariot army was coming, and no way to escape. They were right there. And then there came the storm that caused the Red Sea to separate. The Red Sea separated, and the Hebrews all crossed the Red Sea crossing. And when every Hebrew had crossed, then the storm lifted, and the Egyptian army chased the Hebrews. And when they were in the midst of the sea let loose again, and Pharaoh's army perished in the Red Sea. A miracle, another miracle. And so we can see that God can save his own. God can save anyone, a person or an entire people. So the miracles continued for the people, the Hebrew people leaving Egypt, the Exodus it is called, and there was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to guide the Hebrew people where to go. That sounds like a miracle to me also. And another miracle of God was that the Hebrew people were fed each day. The food was called manna, except for the Sabbath. They had enough food the day before to last 2 days. Otherwise, it was a day of food all at one, for one day. That's what God provided miraculously. All these events are examples that our God is a God of miracles. These miracles, yes, are for the good of the people, but they are definitely to bring glory to God. That's the biggest part of a miracle that I can see. And probably we have also seen miracles in our lifetime. Probably each one of us have. And maybe we didn't know they were a miracle. But when you look back and you try to see what events there were and the order of things, then you can better recognize that it really was a miracle. If you think back on some events, you can see that it was really unlikely that it could have happened the way it happened. And so you have to recognize that it was God directing it all to happen just that way. God still does miracles today. He certainly does. I know that there have been days when I have asked God to guide and direct my day for His glory and for my good. And on some of those days, the most amazing things have come about. Like an important meeting happened with people who just happened to be there at a most unusual time and place, but it happened. I asked God to direct my day, and He did. And so you can attribute those events to, well, I guess you could say coincidence, but when you know God, you know that those kind of events were really the mind of God or the hand of God moving. And for those, we thank You, Lord. I thank You, Lord. Well, we all have choices in life, and I hope you have made the very best eternal choice that you can make, which is to choose Jesus and then to live your life like you made that choice. Live it knowing that Jesus is right there. You're dedicated to Him, and He will help you for His good, glory and your good. Well, when I think of Bible history, I do think of history from time to time. It's kind of a natural for me. I think of all the things that have come about. Oh, I think of the wonderful inventions that we have had. We have cars. We have sewing machines or drills or what we have done by melting metals together with alloys. Just amazing technology. And we have amazing transportation or farming or science. Just astounding advances from the time of the Exodus, when the Hebrew people were slaves in Egypt. Well, I can't help but wonder about things in the old days because I'm a history guy and I think about them. And I think of how life was so much slower then. And so I just kind of wonder, I've wondered this, is people in the very ancient days lived hundreds of years, or certainly they had a longer life than we did. And I just kind of wonder if they had about the same number of events happen in their life as the number of events that we have in our life. It's just that theirs were stretched over more years than our life. So, do we all get those big events? It's just that we have them more frequently because we live a little shorter. I don't know, but I've wondered about it. I do wonder about things. I wonder about the troubles in the Bible, too, how people had troubles, just like we do today. We have, they're all kind of typical. You go back, Samson and Delilah, David and Bathsheba, or how about when Achan took the wedge of gold and the Babylonian robe, or when Balaam wanted money for the prophecy that he would make. The king wanted him to prophesy against the Hebrews, but he could not. So I just see things as quite similar in the past as they are today. It's just a little different flavor, but we have the same basic desires for things or for something. I just see their similarities, and we get to learn from the examples of history and not do stupid things that bring big troubles and have consequences that we say, oh, I wish I had never done that. Well, we can learn from history, just the plain old history books that man makes, or we can learn from the Bible, another history book. We can see the consequences, and we can see how wise it is to follow God's commandments. Well, I do wonder what's coming, because the wisdom of following God's commandments are not being followed today. We see our society is really doing things which are against the commandments of God. And so I just kind of wonder what's going to happen. I can't help but think of that Kentucky pastor David Coverstone's warning, which was to say, brace yourself. He sees things as happening pretty quickly to us, and they might. It might come really quick, and it might not be for a few years or who knows when. God's timing is not our timing, and we just don't quite know what will happen. But we do see mistakes happening in our society. There are things that are going on that are really ungodly. And so we can kind of see that there are going to be consequences. Exactly what they'll be, now that we don't exactly know, but we do get a pretty good idea. It's not going to be fun. But we do get to witness the times, and that's going to be interesting. Well, we always want to know what's coming in the future so we can get prepared for it. Let's get ready for the future. Some people will find security in money or gold or something like that. Some people will find their security in food or some in friends, and some to have a strong wall around their house. Well, different people find different ways to have security. But all these things, they pale in comparison to the peace and comfort that we can have in our relation with God Jesus. That is real security and real comfort, because we get that now and forever, forever and ever. So keep God right with you, in your mind and in your actions as you live life. Have God-oriented thoughts, because we are judged for our thoughts as well as our actions, and we want to live a life that is pleasing to God. Well, we have different views of what security is, and so have some of it. It's a good idea to have security. And there's all sorts of ways of having it. I know I think of food security sometime. Now I just think of the basic foods. That's me. But there's some people who want the very best foods. And that's okay if you can afford it. But I just think it's good to have food. I know I've seen parents who are desperate to feed their starving children. And desperation is a terrible thing to witness. It's terrible to witness starving children, too. I'm sure you've seen them. at least on TV. Sometimes we have an occasion that we see them in person, but we do get to realize that there are starving people, and that does happen in the world. And that is a part of why I like to have that plain and basic food as my, well, it's right up there with number one for food preparations. Really the first need is water and then food, but they kind of go together. Prepare, prepare, prepare for what? Brace yourself for what? Well, you know that we never would have seen this virus coming along and doing what it has done to our society. Anyway, the politicians did it. Maybe the virus didn't. But we have people these days who are talking about making everyone safe so that we would each one of us have a health passport. That's being talked about the country, including New York City. And the talk is that health passport would be required to attend a big public event like a baseball game or a music concert or something else. Where will it lead? Will it lead to needing to show your health passport or your vaccination mark to go into a grocery store or any public place? It's just one of those things that we are dealing with in these days, right along with masks. What is necessary? Is a vaccine necessary? Is a mask necessary? Is closing down society for a while, is that necessary? Well, we have different people with different points of view, and we do have to remember that things can change. Things changed from a year ago, and they can change again in another year. We just have to figure out, what do we understand? What do we believe? Who do we listen to? Scientists and doctors are not unified on what is a danger to us and how to solve it. There is a great big disagreement among some of them. And I would refer back to the March 27th broadcast, the last 4 minutes of it, because on that one, I went over a video by Gert van den Bosch, and he is an expert vaccine developer. And he said in his recorded interview that this COVID-19 vaccination will threaten human health and cause deaths, because the man-made antibodies in the vaccine will overpower our natural antibodies. So, look up his 17-minute interview and presentation if you want to. His name is spelled G-E-E-R-T, V-A-N-D-E-N, B-O-S-S-C-H-E. He has a lot of credentials, a lot of experience in public health and vaccinations, and yet he says that, watch out for this one. Look him up. Well, the scientists do not agree on everything, and you can say that the science is certainly not settled about this. There are plenty of doctors and researchers who are speaking out against this current vaccine, and some of them will lose their jobs because they are speaking out. So you know they have the courage of their conviction, otherwise they wouldn't do it with such a risk to themselves. And, you know, California may well add one more tier to the Corona COVID-19 color-coded alert system. One more tier. And why is that? Perhaps it is so that they can still control society, even though the vaccine seriousness is getting a little less. Not the vaccine seriousness, the amount of spread that is going on of the virus. Well, we keep looking at things, and there's different information that comes out. We learn more as we go along. I remember when I was a young man, I really believed the officials. I really believed people in government. And then over the course of time, I kept finding out where they had told really, really serious lies. Or maybe they were just half-truths. But I learned that you couldn't trust what the officials said. And even today, we know that, but we still want to believe them, and we do. We do what they say because they are the authorities. They are the government. And we just have to figure out these kind of things and use a little discernment in it. I think we, each one of us, have to pray and use our discernment and act accordingly. It is not easy for us to understand the situation in front of us. And there are times when I try to simplify things and so that I can understand them and explain it to others, to other people. Sometimes I oversimplify, but I think of that Bible concept of understanding things like a child. So I think of things with an overview sometime of being right or wrong or good and bad, and I try to make a complex argument or point of view simple. So when I look at vaccines, that's another thing that I try to make simple. Vaccines. This one, this COVID-19, what they call vaccine, is not a vaccine. It is an introduction of of something that takes over your immune system. Anyway, well, you know what? We can all be mistaken. I can be mistaken. The scientists and the doctors today and the alternative ones, they can all be mistaken. So you look into these matters and see how you understand them. Do it prayerfully, though. When I think of vaccines and how they are grown, it just doesn't seem so appealing for the doctors or scientists to scrape off cells and growths from a diseased person, grow it, and weaken it on human cells or monkey cells or aborted fetal cells or chicken and bovine cells, all of it. They do all of it. And they mix them all together in a great big, we'll call it a jar, and then squirt just a little bit of it into you and your children. How does that sound for a simple theory of what goes on? It's kind of true. That's what we do with vaccines. And we give our vaccines to our children, and they get the little squirts of weakened viruses and protein cells from this and from that, liver cells from aborted fetuses. It's just something that, where is the basic concept here about what we're doing? Is it a good thing we're doing? I think of this vaccine, and I think of how typical vaccines take 5 or so years to develop, but this one, they did it in a year. There's no long-term studies. I am concerned and cautious about this new vaccine. Why are we rushed? Why? Is it so serious that we eradicate this virus? Oh, well, I guess we all get to figure that out and see what to do. And I do think of some people who say, how can just a little bit of something hurt you? I mean, it's just a little bitty in injection. Little itty bitty, that's true. A small amount can't be that bad, can it? Well, I do think of some really small things that hurt us. Just think about human development. If you have a sperm and an egg, they are really small, and they grow and develop into a great big human being. So, yeah. Keep thinking about those basic concepts and what you want to do. Let me just change the subject a little bit. We are going into Passover season just now, and there is a strong tradition of removing every bit of leaven from a house. That's the Hebrew Passover tradition. And leaven is what is used to make bread rise, or bubbly, or something. And there are different leavening agents. Certainly, it is not just the little packages of yeast that we can buy in the store. Leavening agents can be so many different things that just have a growth on them. Milk can be a leavening agent, or beer, or yogurt, or sourdough starter. Baking soda, sometimes even lemon juice and vinegar are added. Well, it has been a tradition where you, in the Jewish households, to take all the leaven out of the house. And so it's not just like we find packages of yeast in the cupboard and take them out. In the olden days, it would have been probably finding a little covered dish that was put in an out-of-the-way place, a dish of honey or beer or milk or something, and that would be to get the leavening process of the bread started. So it would be pretty obvious to people in the olden days, more obvious to them than to us today, that it only takes a little leaven to leaven the whole bunch or the whole lump. And that is Galatians 5:9. So we get to think about what's going on today. A little leaven? Hey, get a little vaccine, I guess. I don't know. Get your health passport. Yes. A part of that health passport talk, like I said, was needing it to get into a ball game or a music concert or a political rally. Or another part of it is to have a dye put into that vaccine so that you can be scanned and known if that luminescent dye is in your vaccine area or not. So this is something that's going on. And we wonder, will it develop? Will the next step be that we need the injection or whatever it is to get into a government building or to enter a public marketplace like a grocery store? And you just have to think, is that getting a little bit close to the mark of the beast written about in Revelation 13? Well, we have a whole lot of people who say, oh, it's not going to be the mark. And I'm sure they're right, but I have heard pastors and politicians say, don't worry about the vaccine. It is not the mark of the beast. And I have to say, I think they are right. But I'm going to misquote Shakespeare here and say, methinks they protesteth too much. End of quote. Okay, so I don't know what it exactly means, but I think that we can always use caution for all of it. And if we are so careful about following our instructions, our directives, and doing everything that we are told, and then at the last minute we're going to say no to the mark, how does that sound to you? Suddenly we are going to change from being dependent on the system to leaving the system and being dependent on God? Well, we know that God will make a way, but we also know we are to use wisdom. And when I think of the way the world is, I know that there are a whole lot of martyrs in the world. I look at Christian history, and I read the things that go on. There's a lot going on in history and a lot of lessons. I think one of the lessons we learn is, and I mean from those Christian missionaries, is that we have to use our wit and our wisdom to carry out our instructions on the will of God. There are a lot of people who oppose missionaries. People and government do and have. But we have to remember our job is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is the purpose of our life, the way I see it. How are we doing? Well, a lot of people could do a lot more. And so what I would say to people, all of us, and me too, is let us pray and send a check to the missionaries, because they are doing God's outreach. They are doing a good work. And let us remember them with our prayer and with our money. After all, we are a part of the kingdom of God, and so we want to do godly works. Good works. They ought to flow out of us naturally. It should not be a hard thing for us to do. It should be easy and natural. Just think of a peach tree. Peach tree produces a peach. It is not hard for the peach tree to produce a peach. That fruit flows right from the tree easily and naturally. And I would like to say that our good works also flow from God through us to a loving God and loving our neighbor. And an extension of that is to support the people who are preaching the good news of the gospel to the world and even to our neighbors. You know, our nation needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you look at all the things in our nation, you could even say it's in trouble today. Everyone needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. So support the people that are speaking the good news of the gospel. And these days there are people with plenty of ungodly concepts. They just don't know God at all. They might be having some very principles of it's Darwinism, really, where the universe, well. Oh, it depends on how it's developed and at what point you look at. But people today are thinking that things just have evolved. Man evolved from monkeys, which came from mud, which came from molecules excited by lightning. Oh, what happened to God created the universe and God created man? See, it's just things change. Oh, by the way, who created the mud and who created the lightning? So, mankind is getting more and more self-centered, and advertising helps that because it helps us to think of us and what we want, how important we are. Are we important? Sort of. As we fulfill a purpose for God's kingdom, we are. And the advertisers today want us to look only at ourselves and kind of forget about our Christian principles, forget about the basis of Christianity. And that is one of the things that, we are facing today. right today, Christianity and church is getting minimized. If you look at what's going on today with church closures and with banning of singing or banning of Thanksgiving and Christmas, well, I say banned, but it's not exactly banned, but it is reduced to the point of not being like it used to be. So there are changes going on in our society, and we know it. We see them all over the place, how we are slowly changing, being guided into a new social order. You could even call it a new world order, sure. Well, it's a new paradigm or overall view, and people are just going every which direction. Some people are trying to say that you can choose whatever you want. Have your own reality. By the way, you can be a boy one day and a girl the next day, or a soldier, or a homemaker, or a king or a queen. You decide. You get to choose. After all, we can make it happen for you. Well, never mind reality, and never mind the things that are of the God-oriented system either. It just, things are changing in our life, in our world, and we have to remember that. For us, the privileged people, we believe we have a choice. And this is all at a time when in our world, slavery is all over the world. Now, you can say slavery. It's not the kind of chains and whips slavery that there used to be. But it is slavery where your passport is held until you leave. You are paid something, but not enough. Or maybe your wages get paid to another government. And that is the case for North Korean workers. They work, but their government is paid whatever you earn. And there are just things that go on internationally. And there is forced labor today. Oh, and forced marriages today. There is all sorts of force going on in this world, and we think we have the choice to choose everything? Well, we do have a lot of choice, that's for sure. We do have to be aware of the directions that our society is going today. Slavery has always been a reality in this world. I think of ancient Rome 2,000 years ago, where there were more slaves in Rome than there were free citizens. See, slaves. That reminds me of a kind of a joke. How do you tell an armed slave what to do? And the answer is, you don't. There's no such thing as an armed slave. And it reminds me of ancient Israel, when Israel had been subjugated under the Philistines. And at that time, no Israeli was allowed to possess anything that was iron, and they were not allowed to possess any weapon, or it was the death penalty. See, that's the kind of laws that go on that oppress us then and today. Today, at our highest levels of government, there are politicians and calling for, well, control of the people and also gun control measures. Why? So we don't have the power and the ability to change like we did in the early American days. Well, there is just question upon question about what are we going to stand up for. What are we going to do? Are there still threats to America? Is China a threat? Is white supremacy a threat? Is racism a threat? Or assault rifles? Or COVID-19? Or, Joe Biden just said the filibuster is a racist threat. So we have to evaluate what the threats really are and then have an idea about how to overcome or protect ourselves from the dangers. whether it is a financial danger or a food danger or something else. And speaking of financial dangers and the present politics, a very well thought of mutual fund manager named Peter Grandich was interviewed a week ago, and he said that the health of our current president is bringing great uncertainty to our financial markets. And if the vice president becomes president, there will be even more uncertainties. So it's just what we live with. It is life today. Speaking of the financial things, I just have to go over this for a minute or two. Because this is kind of serious. It is about derivatives and what's going on with pieces of paper that mean something, where we can get value from. That is what a derivative is. It's a piece of paper that derives its value from something real. It is like a promise to pay. It's kind of like a mortgage. And, well, actually, that's what a lot of derivatives are. Promises to pay based on your mortgage. And then they bundle them all together and they sell them like 200 or 2,000 at a time. And if you get all those loans together in a package, the bank owns the loan, but the titles are confused. Well, they're not confused if you have two loans that refuse to pay or default. But if you have 200 or 20 loans or whatever it is, it kind of messes up the system. And so the derivatives is a problem today. It's been thought of for a good while that derivatives are a problem. Now today, a few days ago, I think it was on Monday, that there was a hedge fund by the name of Archegos Capital Management Company, and they defaulted on the payments they had promised to make to several banks. And it's a serious thing. Now the SEC is looking into the matter. But the point, here's the point, it's a big thing. It is reported that they owe the Nomura Bank of Japan $2 billion. And they owe Swiss Credit Bank $2 billion. That's B with a billion for both of them. A total of $4 billion. Now that's a lot of money. And it's probably not going to make a huge impact on our system. But we have to know that it could, or if several of these things happened together, it would make a big impact on our financial system. And then what? And then what? That is the question. And then what? So I bring this up to say that we have to look after ourselves financially, with food and water, or you could even say with our health issues. We have to have an objective look at what the problems are and what we are going to do to minimize those problems. So I'm using this as an example to say that things can happen, and they can happen quickly, suddenly. Nobody recognized that this was coming. Anyway, no one in the financial circles. I guess the banks did, but the financial world did not recognize it. And this is an indicator of what can come upon all of us very suddenly. All of a sudden, $4 billion is effectively lost. Will that affect the system? Probably not. But if several of them happen, yes, it would affect our financial system. And who is looking at the problems? The regulators? Well, they don't regulate derivatives. The SEC does not regulate derivatives. So it's not even on anyone's, they call it a radar scope. Nobody's looking out for them. It's just something which we have to know can come along. These things can come along quickly, just like any other sort of a crisis. I think of the Pentagon announcing, well, this was at the very last day of the Trump impeachment trial, that the Pentagon announced that they had $35 trillion of adjustments to make on their past budgets. And that's another example of not being aware of what is going on and how the things can happen several at a time and then really impact our system. You know, we had a crash in 2008, and they still don't know exactly what caused that crash. So, yes, things are going good. Our economy is going good. But I always say to look, to anticipate that things are going to go good and better, and also that things are going to go kaplooey or crash or something. So, what are we doing to keep everything going? We are printing money. Printing, printing, printing money. The government is providing its citizens money all over the place. There's COVID relief. There's a discussion about of money that is just paid to everyone. All these things are happening, and we have to recognize this means there could be hyperinflation coming. Again, realize that it could happen or it might not. That's, I think, the way to plan for the future. There's a lot of things that we just don't see. We didn't see this virus coming along a year ago, and all of a sudden it's here. If we had a financial crisis coming along and we didn't see it, and all of a sudden it was here, well, that's why you have different things that you do with different anticipations. That's, I think, the answer. It's the best we can do to try to figure out what's going on. We can be told what to do, and sometimes they're right, and sometimes they're wrong. But it's up to each one of us to look into our financial security and our salvation, eternal security. So if you are thinking about what to do to prepare, you can always send to me for my preparedness pamphlet, and just send me a stamped self-addressed envelope and I'll get that right back to you. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California 95927. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Shine your light, I am yours, Lord.